preparations for Matan Torah. So, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, in the year 2448, fell on a Sunday. B'nai Yisroel became to what we call the desert area, or the desert of Chorev. It says the desert was given five additional names by the Torah: Sinai, Sin, Kadesh, Kademos, and Korah. And they say they all allude in one way or another to Matan Torah. Sinai is initially Sneh, that's where the burning bush was, and Hashem added a Yud to make it Sinai. We're also told that one of the reasons it's called Sinai is because when God gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, all the nations who said, no, not for us, were angry. And this is what is the cause of anti-Semitism. The fact that the Jewish people, God's representatives, basically has marked them for eternity from the other nations of the world. The question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a seven-week period? Why did he basically create the period of Sfiras HaOmer, the 49 days? Why couldn't they have received the Torah right after they finished celebrating the first Pesach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't consider Klal Yisrael ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they are still affected. They have the after effects. They have the PTSD from having left Mitzrayim. And they haven't gotten over the slave labor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want them to first spend 7 weeks in the desert, eat the man, which is a spiritual food, the slav, the quails, which I will bring for them, and drink from the Be'er Shel Miriam, the special well. In other words, let's have some spirituality basically infused into your bodies, into the collective Jewish DNA. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu led them through Yamsuf, making it dry. He saved them from Amalek. He gave them the mon, the well, and the quails when they said, we need meat. And only after this period of rehabilitation did HaKadosh Baruch Hu offer them the Torah. Moreover, Klal Yisroel, upon leaving Mitzrayim, were not a unified nation yet. They had lived in this era of servitude, and it was easy in that environment to become inflamed, to be turned on, to get into arguments, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Sinai, which is hatred, to basically infuse into Klal Yisroel anti-Sinai. He wanted to infuse in them the Achdus, the unity that they needed. Then they could be given a Torah Shalom, a Torah of peace. And it says Klal Yisroel also, in going through this process, instinctively did tshuva for when they complained initially about the shortcomings they faced in terms of food and water in the desert. And we'll learn later that this was very successful because the Pasuk tells us, Vayichan Yisroel neged Ahor. Yichan is, and he camped, but he is all of Yisroel next to the Har Sinai. And Rashi says, Ki ishechad b'lev echad. They became unified. They all had the same desire to accept the Torah. And this period, therefore, was the proper period of rehabilitation. On the Sunday they arrived to the, they got to the desert. On Monday they actually got, it says, to Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not in those first days have a communication with Klal Yisroel. On day three, the Rabbono Shel Olam called Moshe to the top of the mountain, and he said, here are the following instructions to be implemented. As we mentioned yesterday, speak to the women before the men. Address them gently and give them general outlines. Then address the men, and because men need a greater involvement in understanding halachos, you've got to basically talk to them in a more intense, in a more, let's say, engrossed or in larger context. And also, the men need to be spoken to a little more stern than the women, because we need a certain level of strictness in order for men to become Talmidei Chachamim, to become well-versed in the various aspects of the Torah. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the women first, because women, it says, we know they become bas mitzvah 12, men at 13. So that gave them a certain precedent. The other thing is, when women make an effort to be Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, they exert tremendous influence on their children. It's really the mother, we're told, who instills the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah into people. Hashem said, I'm going to do things a little differently. When I created Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, I gave Adam the commandment not to eat from the specific tree, and it failed. Let's try giving the women the first indoctrination, and maybe the result will end up better. Moreover, because women are going to get certain exemptions for time-bound mitzvahs that have a time limit to when they can be done, they may feel that they have less responsibility for mitzvos, and so let me address them first so that they understand that the responsibility to do those mitzvos applicable to them has the same gravis, the same importance as does the mitzvos given to men. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the women are being addressed first because we're told, B'schus Nashim Tzidkaniyos, because of the righteous women who insisted on continuing to have children, right? Nigalu. That's why B'nai Yisroel were redeemed, and the time has come now that we're going to create a Jewish religion to properly recognize their contribution. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the following message. Klal Yisroel, you witnessed how I punished the Egyptians because they enslaved you. You did not hear about the 10 plagues from a tradition given by your forefathers. You lived this. I will tell you, the Egyptian nation was sufficiently decadent, sufficiently idol worshippers, and totally promiscuous before you got there. And they should have been wiped out by then. But I didn't do it then. I waited until they acted improperly against the Jewish people. And it's only for that reason that the level of punishment came at this period of time. You witnessed how you went to Ramses with Kvitzas Aderech in a very quick time when you were redeemed. You saw the Egyptians chasing after you. You saw the chariots, and you knew that if they were to catch up to you and you were unprotected, there would be at least great destruction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you the Anonei HaKaved, I gave you the clouds of glory which protected you. Any missiles they try to shoot towards you basically couldn't get through the clouds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the analogy is most birds, when they carry their children, carry them between their feet, because they say, I'm likely going to be attacked from above, and at least let the children underneath me survive. The exception is the eagle. The eagle knows that the eagle is the strongest, boldest of all the birds, and it therefore fears no one coming above it. Therefore, it carries its young on its back. And the analogy, does somebody have something in the background going on there? Please shut it off. Okay, I'm gonna mute.
To mute conference participants, press 1. To mute conference, all participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. You can unmute yourselves, it says. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I carried you like on the wing, on the wings, on the back of an eagle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the reason why you are coming to Har Sinai is that you will be able and you required to properly serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We are going to enter a bris, a covenant. And you started because you began observing Shabbos, one of the Aseres Adibros, already in Mora. So you're already getting used to doing mitzvahs. And I promise that as you continue, the Jewish people alone will be beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire world and everything above it and below it belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But I am making you the Am Segula. I am making you the treasured nation. And you are going to be a Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, and a holy nation. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, what I want you to do is, I want you to say over every word I said to you exactly as I gave you the message. What does Mamleches Kohanim, kingdom of Kohanim, mean? It says when the Jews received the Torah, everyone had reached the level where they could have eaten the Kodshei Kodshim, the holiest part of Korbanos. This, unfortunately, this level was gone after the Egel. And also, the issue of being Mamleches Kohanim, a holy nation, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was charging Klal Yisroel to remain aloof from the nations of the world and their practices. While we would need to have certain interactions with them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be as few as possible and as little intense as possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I am going to appear to Klal Yisroel in a thick cloud. And Klal Yisroel will hear when I speak to you. In other words, initially they were going to hear all 10 of the Aseres Adibros, the 10 statements, but they couldn't take it after 2. But they would recognize the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, how he embodied and was the greatest of all Nevi'im for all time, as the Rambam says in his 13 principles of faith. On the same day, Moshe was told to set boundaries around Har Sinai. There was a level Moshe could go to and no one else. There was a level that Aaron could go to, and past that, there would be a problem. There was a level that the Zakenim, the elders, could go, and no one else. And then there was a level for Klal Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if the Jewish people break through this boundary that you're setting, it will be end up in a terrible demise. They will die, those who break through. The people agreed, but they had a little bit of dissatisfaction that this class distinction, as they thought, would appear. They said, we wonder, could we not hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed to us and not, so to speak, bouncing off Moshe or through Moshe? They did not realize, Chazal says, that there is a tremendous risk in coming close to too much holiness. It's like the burning fire. You get too close, you get singed, and you might be put on flame. Kedusha is something you've got to approach only on your own level. You've got to know how close to get. But they didn't have this perception as yet. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I will agree to this. I will give them a direct communication. And that's how they got Anoichi Hashem and Loisiya, the first two of the statements, because Aseres Hadibros do not mean 10 commandments, it's really 10 statements. There are many mitzvos in there, more than 10. And when they heard Hashem's voice, because they weren't on the level, their neshamas left them. There was a complete, so to speak, death of all of Klal Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do Tchiyas HaMesim to them. When they realized, I don't know if this happened one time or if it happened with each Makkah, but they realized, you know, we can't depend on this happening. If we keep going through this, who knows if we'll be able to come back. You can imagine the fear. Moshe, the next day, returned to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell them what Klal Yisrael said. And we learn midos from this. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly what transpired between Moshe and the Jewish people. However, proper midos is that when somebody gives you a message, you go back and you report how the message was received. Moshe told the people to prepare for Matan Torah. They would need to go through a tahara, a purification process, for 3 days. They were to separate from their spouses. There should be no bodily contact in that period, and they had to do tefillah, dipping into a mikveh, both themselves and their clothes. Chazal tell us that initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted 2 days to occur where this process would apply. But Moshe added the third day. That's how we get Shlosh Yesh Yemei Hagbola, the 3 days of surrounding. He said, prepare yourselves today, Wednesday, Thursday, and... No, I made a mistake. Prepare your... It seems prepare yourself Thursday and Friday. On Shabbos, the Torah will be given. We're told that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he cured every single yid that there was no physical malady, illness, or disability amongst every Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a perfect nation vis-a-vis physical appearance to accept the Torah. So there would presumably be no reason to say, we were tired, we were disabled, etc., when we did this. No, you were at your climax. You were at the greatest physical condition possible. And that is how you are going to be given the Torah. We're told the famous mashal that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give a Torah on a mountain, each of the mighty mountains, so to speak, tined with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I'm the largest. I'm the strongest. Mount Everest probably said, I'm the tallest. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to all of the mountains, so to speak, and said, no, each one of you mountains have been served. Either you have been deities, you have been treated as an idol, or have there been idols put on you or served on you. Sinai is a pristine, untouched mountain. The only thing that's happened there is when I appeared to Moshe. Moreover, we're told Sinai never asked to have the Torah given on it. Sinai had perfect humility and would have been able to accept any other mountain doing this. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I want this pure and humble mountain to be the spot where the greatest revelation in the history of existence will occur. And that set the stage for giving of the Torah. Tomorrow, we will talk about the actual events involved in Matan Torah, such as in Yisro. But we should also know that we will find other details of Matan Torah, I think, in Mishpatim and in one other parsha as well, which escapes my mind. And the complete story, if there's a book written by a Rabbi Deutsch, he wrote he's like a 500-page book on the story of Klal Yisroel moving from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. I think it's called Let My People Serve Me. Okay.